Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. Today we are previewing Darren Collison, the new point guard for the Indiana Pacers. And joining me on the other line to help preview Darren Collison is 8.9 seconds co-expert Hunter Cuthley. Joined me on a podcast before. How are you doing, Hunter?
Doing well. Ready to talk some Darren Collison.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, let's just get right into it because, you know, why not? So Darren Collison, obviously, he is returning to Indiana. He played for the Pacers for 3 years, traded midway during the season or five or six years ago now. But he played about two seasons. Really,
yeah, it was a while
season.
Ago.
It was a while ago. It was before I messed up. It was like 2011. I know the year. I know the year. I just I just said two by mistake. It was it was 2011. He got traded. You know, when they traded for George Hill, he played one more season and then he was kind of dumped. He was the starting point guard back then for a season. Now he is brought back as the starting point guard. So I just want to start off with just the obvious question. What do you think of the Darren Collison signing?
This silence and like difficulty articulating how I feel is kind of the best way to articulate how I feel about it, if that makes any sense. It's fine. Darren Collison is fine. I feel like if you went to like an NBA fan, just a typical NBA fan on the street and asked them, try and come up with the most unremarkable starting point guard you can come up with, you would come up with Darren Collison. He's like a really, really good backup. And when you put him at a starter, he's like probably in the low teens, early 20s in terms of like starting point guards in the NBA. He's fine. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to get into all this. I think he's got a skill set that can work with some of the other people on the roster. So I'm definitely okay with, you know, signing him to a contract. And the specific terms of his contract, I think, are pretty unoffensive in terms of where the Pacers are going in the next few years. So, you know, he's pretty quintessential bridge point guard, to kind of put it into a nutshell. So I'm not mad at it. I mean, it doesn't blow me away either.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. He is the perfect you know, when you don't know who your point guard is going to be, when you don't have a reliable guy that you drafted and you're looking to draft a guy next year, he's the guy you bring in. You know, he's consistently like, you know, 12 points, five assists. He's not
right.
going to blow your doors away. He's not going to put up 20 points a season or 10 assists a season, but he's going to, you know, kind of be almost kind of like a glue guy. You know, he'll come in, he'll play well. He won't play extremely well, but he won't play extremely bad. You know, he's the definition of like, you know, average point guard. He's probably between what, 16 and 20 in the league ranked point guards, if you were to do it on a list.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually kind of jotted down a few tally marks as I was preparing for this. And I'd say he's probably better than 8 or 9 starting point guards right now. And I put like 3 at kind of a wash. I'm going to put him at like 19, 20th best point guard in the NBA right now.
Yeah. That's exactly where I was kind of thinking. I haven't made like a list, but I sort of just look down at the like top PER point guards and once you get past some of the bigger names, then it's like, you know, he's probably not as good as the George Hill, Jeff Teague category, but he's probably not as bad as some of the younger guys that are coming in the league who haven't really played yet. So, you know, I mean, obviously the point guard position is one of the most volatile in the league. You know, now there's going to be two new point guards that are drafted first, second overall this year that could jump up in there. So you don't know what's going to happen with that. So, you know, when it comes to Darren Collison, it's kind of about fit, right? He was brought in to sort of help bring this culture change to Indiana, as Pritchard preached it. He wanted to kind of bring in a tougher, you know, like harder working, you know, Collison kind of fits that, as he's kind of a scrappy player. He's, you know, he's maybe 6 feet tall. I think he's about 6 feet tall. I mean, he's listed as 6 feet tall. Let's put it that way. But he's kind of the scrappy, work hard, you know, has worked his way in this league from being, you know, projected starting point guard to no longer a starting point guard to kind of getting that spot back, which is hard to do. Once you lose a starting point guard, it's hard to get back to becoming a starting point guard. And he was that way in Sacramento the past three seasons when Rondo wasn't there. So, you know, he is kind of that all around kind of just, you know, can bring a little bit of a newer mentality to the point guard position that the Pacers didn't have before. So I kind of have it down that Collison is what you would call the mentor point guard for the point guard you draft next season. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's the best case scenario for sure is, you know, if you're looking for him to have to play a meaningful role in like the next few years of Pacers basketball, that's pretty much your only option is some sort of mentor for whoever they draft next year. And who's the point guard at Alabama that's
Colin Sexton.
Already linked? Colin Sexton, yeah. So if you know that ends up coming to the team and Darren Collison wants to coach him up a little bit, yeah, that's the way that you can view Collison to sort of leave a mark on Pacers basketball other than just, you know, soaking up games for the next couple of seasons. As far as like bringing him in as part of some culture reset, like the Pritchard was preaching, like you're saying, it's kind of a tongue twister.
Yeah, I know it got me.
I'm a little bit more skeptical about that. Bringing in someone who was involved in a domestic violence trial as part of your culture reset. I think that's a lot of spin, but as far as a basketball player, like he's a good basketball player and he can teach a point guard how to like, you know, manage a game and, you know, make sure to get guys involved and all that stuff that, you know, doesn't get talked about all that much. So yeah, I think you pretty much hit it.
Yeah. The domestic violence point, you can't not say that when you talk about him. I, you know, that point does make sense to me. I agree with you 100% on that. You know, I'm not nearly qualified enough to talk about it in a way that I feel comfortable about it, but I agree with you that, you know, that's something when you talk about culture, it's something you've got to at least mention with Darren Collison because he was involved in that. So when it comes to the Pacers, our friend Caitlin Cooper at Indy Cornrows likes to say, you envision each player through the Miles Turner prism. So how does this player affect Miles Turner's growth? You know, how does he help him? So with Collison, right, he's going to become the main distributor, maybe, you know, maybe not if you consider Oladipo or Stevenson, but it's going to become one of the main distributors for Miles Turner. So how do you see Collison and Turner kind of fitting together next season?
Yeah, I think it could be a fairly decent pick and roll duo if that's something that, you know, Nate McMillan wants to hit pretty hard. Darren Collison isn't, you know, he's not a stellar pick and roll point guard. I think last year it was about 0.86 points per possession as a pick and roll ball handler, which puts you in like the 60s in terms of percentile. So like, you know, you're not blowing anyone away, but obviously that's not bad. So I think he and Turner as sort of a pick and roll duo could, you know, they could find some sort of success. Turner's obviously a pretty great roller to the rim and, you know, he can also pop out for those 20 footers that we know he loves so dearly. I think that's definitely probably the main way that they're going to interact on the court together. Not going to be a lot of entry passes to Turner on the post, even though it seems like he's working pretty hard on that this summer, much to all of our collective chagrin. But yeah, I think really it's going to be in the pick and roll where they're going to do most of their damage together. And, you know, I'm fairly optimistic on that front.
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic about that too, because I think Collison at least can kind of probably make the extra pass. You know, Teague kind of could, but Teague and Hill previously were both more of, I want to say, like, not like offensive point guards in a sense, but defense first and not really real great distributors. You know, Teague was a little bit, but Collison seems like a more of a pure distribute point guard, get the offense flowing than any pass point guard. That's good for Turner because you want Turner to get up to, you know, more shots. He shot 11 or 12 times last season. You want to get him to like 15 or 16 this year at least. So then with Collison too, we got to talk about how he'll flow with some of the other players too. So there's Oladipo. You know, we'll talk about shooting guards. So Victor Oladipo and Lance Stevenson. So most likely he'll be playing a majority of minutes with Oladipo and then maybe some with Stevenson if Stevenson doesn't become his backup basically. So how do you see him flowing with Oladipo?
Right. And I think that's where we get into kind of the tricky parts of Collison's fit with the team, because kind of my first thought is, oh, you're putting him with Oladipo and maybe Stevenson. Those are both guys that aren't really going to be super successful off the ball. So that kind of your next thought process there is then, well, maybe you move Collison off the ball and, you know, maybe he brings the ball up and he passes it off to Oladipo or Stevenson. And then maybe he kind of retreats to the corner, which I think they could find a good bit of success with. Collison was pretty successful shooting from the corners last year in terms of three pointers. At least he was 56% from corner threes last year, which is a pretty great number. So I think that's kind of if the Pacers are looking to get the most out of their offensive lineups, specifically in terms of the backcourt, you're going to give Oladipo or Stevenson more of a ball dominant role where the offense is going to be moving through them. And then that'll kind of push Collison while he'll still be managing the game and doing all that like unspoken point guard stuff that you want to talk about. In terms of like finishing possessions, he's probably going to spend a good part of possessions spacing the floor around the 3-point line.
Yeah, and this is where you get kind of back into that same Pacer groove as before, where the Pacers have traditionally kind of played their point guard as a spot up shooter at times. You know, the Pacers never really had a traditional like shooting guard that can shoot threes and just out there to play defense kind of way. They've always had these kind of hybrid shooting guards, I would say, like a Stevenson, even George, you know, when George was point guard, he played off the ball, but Stevenson, even Monte Ellis, they were both kind of hybrid shooting guards where they would play a shooting guard and they could shoot the ball, but they needed the ball in their hands to score. That's kind of the way Oladipo is, which if Oladipo isn't markedly better than Monte Ellis, you're going to have some of the same problems you had before, you know, when you had Teague and Ellis out there because they just didn't fit very well together because they both needed the ball at all times. Now, you know, Collison is a 40% three-point shooter, so I imagine he will do decently well shooting in the corner spot up. I don't, you know, you never know how somebody does just kind of standing in the corner, especially a point guard who thinks they should have the ball all the time. But an interesting thing I think about Collison in just the shooting guard way is if the Pacers were to kind of bring in Robinson as a shooting guard. So that sort of changes Collison's, you know, setup in the offense. All of a sudden he becomes the main distributor, and that I feel like playing Robinson at shooting guard with Collison and Bogdanovich and whoever you want to play at the four and Turner might be actually the best lineup with Collison in.
That'd be a pretty dynamite offensive lineup. I hadn't really thought too much about that, but yeah, you move Glenn Robinson to the two, Bogdanovich at the three, and then maybe you throw, you know, Thad Young or Sabonis, TJ Leaf, what have you at the four there. That could be a pretty, you know, get about as close as you could to like a four, you know, four out, five out lineup, which would be pretty unknown to Pacers fans and Pacers basketball. That's a very interesting idea that I hadn't really thought too much about. I'd be in favor of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of that lineup too is I think I've seen it somewhere people have had that lineup, but with Oladipo as the point guard. So that's kind of like the same concept, except you have a more reliable point guard in the spot instead of Oladipo.
Sure. Sure. And in terms of giving, you know, putting the ball in Oladipo's hands, that's something I'm definitely in favor of because, you know, Oladipo, he's on the team and he's getting paid a whole lot of money. So you might as well, you know, give him the ball as much as possible and see what you have. You know, you're not really going to be hitching your wagons to Darren Collison's development. So if, you know, there's someone that's going to be pushed off the ball and standing in the corner, I'd kind of rather it be Collison than Oladipo.
Yeah. Collison is what he is at this point. You know, he's 30 years old almost. You can get better, but you're not going to like change your game. You're not going to become markedly better. You know, you can improve a point one or two each way, but you're not going to make any jump. So then let's talk about who's going to back up Collison. So Collison, you know, he's getting up there in age. I mean, he's not super old yet. He's old in NBA terms. When you're 30 in the NBA, you're old. I mean, that's how it is in the NBA. But so he'll probably get, let's say, 30 minutes a game or so. And they brought in Corey Joseph. I've heard a theory that Lance Stevenson could be the backup point guard at some point and Joseph play the two. Do you see Joseph as being his main backup, or do you see maybe even you want to say Joe Young is going to come in to back him up as a joke?
Yeah, that's the only thing that would be. I don't know. I can go either way, really. Obviously, I want to see point Lance because I'm a human being with two eyes and a heart, but I can also understand that, you know, maybe you want to give Corey Joseph a role on the team as well. And there's really only a couple roles that he can play. He's not exactly super versatile as a player. And I'm not sure if you'll find the same success pushing him off the ball as you will with Collison. He's an okay 3-point shooter, very much a rhythm 3-point shooter, and taking him out of rhythm is not going to, you know, you're going to have varying levels of success. He shot 35%. Last year, but 27% the year before. So it's really kind of hit or miss. It's going to depend on his environment. And, you know, if you're playing him with backup units, you know, I can see it going a couple of different ways, depending on, you know, who else is around him, whether or not he'll be able to find any success from behind the arc. So I'm kind of nervous taking the ball too much out of his hands. If, you know, when he is going to be on the floor, I'd like to have him distributing and kind of doing whatever, you know, is going to maximize his success. And on Stevenson's side, You know, I know a lot of Pacers fans and, you know, just NBA fans in general are going to want to see Point Lance. I'm going to want to see Point Lance as well, because I'm a human being with two eyes and a heart. And obviously he's going to be the more exciting option at backup point guard. You know, he's more of a driving kick kind of guy. You know, he is maybe arguably a better distributor. The problem that I run into is, like I was talking about with Corey Joseph, it's just Corey Joseph is a little bit more limited offensively, so you kind of want to let him do what he's good at and let Stevenson kind of, you know, be the glue guy that comes in and kind of fills the gaps and then, you know, works hard defensively. I mean, defensively, I think, you know, having Corey Joseph at the one and Lance Stevenson at the two could be a pretty gnarly defensive backcourt, so I'm looking forward to watching that. It's a little bit harder to, you know, mesh things on the offensive side. So that leads me to kind of think that Corey Joseph is going to be the backup point guard, and then you're going to have Lance coming in as the sixth man, playing with the starters a little bit, and then kind of taking a backseat when Joseph comes in to run the show. That might not be, you know, it's obviously not going to be maximizing Lance's skill set, and it might not be the most entertaining product, but it seems to me, you know, just guessing that that's kind of going to be what ends up happening. I don't know. It's anybody's call.
Yeah, I just don't. I think Collison is the best point guard on this roster. You know, going into the offseason, we all, like I said, like you said, I would love to see Lance a point guard just because it'd be fun and they wouldn't win a lot of games. So they get a good draft pick. But Collison's the best point guard on this team, so he's going to play the majority of point guard minutes. So we're going to see a lot of him this year as long as he's healthy. So, you know, that's how it has to be, basically, because, like you said, Corey Joseph is a two-ish. He's a point guard-ish, kind of. He can do his things. You know, all the other guys on the team, Oladipo is really a shooting guard. Stevenson can do his things. He does well, you know, some point guard things and some shooting guard things and some small forward things, but he's not, like, a pure point guard. Collison is the only true point guard on this roster. So, you know, I think we can both agree we're going to see him 30 to 35 minutes a game. Right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about another player in Collison, then we'll do the last one. So Bojan Bogdanović and Collison's kind of I think they play well together just because they're both such good shooters. You know, when they're in the lineup together, you could play both in the corner and let Oladipo be point guard at times, and that might be their most effective lineup, at least. They could spread out the whole floor. So I personally like the idea of Collison and Bogdanović and Oladipo and Turner and you know, I guess you throw in Thad Young, and if all five can shoot the three, you can basically play all five guys on three-point line and just run one of the most unique offenses. Now, you can't bet on Nate McMillan to make that kind of call, but if he does, you know, that might be the best offense they have out there is the starting five, and that's why their five are going to start. What's kind of your thoughts on Bogdanović and Collison together?
Yeah, I mean, they can both shoot. Like you said, that makes everything exponentially easier. I think Bogdanović is going to likely have a role similar to the one that he had in Washington and then even Brooklyn before that, which is primarily a floor spacing role because he's got that unique skill and you kind of need to maximize it when you can. I'm not super bullish on Bogdanović. Please do not tell Tony that I said that, even though I'm sure that he's listening to this. But I mean, I know that he really wants to have the ball in his hands and thinks that, you know, he can have the offense flow through him and can just go get buckets like it's the Croatian national team. It's not really the same thing. And, you know, I don't think the offense is going to be maximized if you put the ball in his hands too much. You know, he makes the team best as an off-ball guy that's spacing the floor like he has been in the past. That's why he's been in those roles in the past. But I think that role is a very helpful role. And so I think he is going to get a lot of time on this team. You know, and he's going to have a pretty pivotal role offensively just because his shot from long range. And, you know, if you need to, you know, toss him the ball at the end of the shot clock and say, like, go make something happen, he can definitely do that more than like a Glenn Robinson for sure. He's much more reliable in that aspect. So I think he and Collison can develop a relationship there where, you know, Collison is the distributor and the facilitator. And if he kind of gets in a bind, he can toss it to Bogdanović and say, like, you know, go get a bucket, see if you can. I don't know where Miles Turner plays into that whole thing. You know, it's definitely going to be a battle of whether you want to call it ego or expected role or anything like that. And, you know, we'll see how it shakes out over the course of 82 games. Or, you know, Nate McMillan could just throw two big men out there and gum up everything again. And, you know, none of this matters.
I want to take a quick break from today's Locked On Pacers podcast player preview to talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the presenting sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast, and SeatGeek is my favorite ticketing site to buy tickets to concerts and sporting events. SeatGeek is great for basically two reasons. One, they have a fee included price. That means you don't get surprised by the end price. You know, some sites, if you go on, you get one price for ticket, and when you check out, it's a whole nother price, and it's usually like $20 more. This time on SeatGeek, you log on, you see the price, they tell you the price, it's what it is. There's no, you know, hidden price. It's $45 a ticket, it's $45 a ticket. You don't have to pay anything more than that. You know what you're paying. The second thing is that SeatGeek tells me whether I'm getting a good deal on my ticket. They have a thing called a deal score, which is a great formula to determine whether you're paying more or less than you should be paying. If the little dot on shows up on the ticket, if it's a green dot, meaning it's like 70 or higher, you're getting a great deal on the ticket. You're not being, you know, overcharged for the ticket. You know, SeatGeek is one of the best ticket aggregating sites, and if you use the promo code LOMBA, you get a $20 discount off your first purchase. So this year, when you go to buy Pacer tickets, make sure to use the promo code LOMBA so they know that you are a listener of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Now back to today's Locked On Pacers preview episode.
Sorry, Tony and you might not agree on Bogdanovich. He's also really bullish on Lance, so it's all right. You don't have to agree with everything with Tony. but no, I agree with you in that Bogdanovich is might be the best, you know, pure offensive player on the Pacers, just shooting wise. And if he gets his open shot, kind of like a Kyle Korver, he's not as good as Kyle Korver in his prime was, but he's that kind of shooter at times that kind of spot up and find him. But you know, with Collison, you know, hopefully at the end of he won't be in any situation too much where he has to kind of like just throw it up at the end of shot, give it, kind of find a guy to give it to. But you imagine that it's probably gonna be Miles Turner is kind of gonna be Collison's like backup safety net, you know, the way like Paul George was kind of the safety net for the Pacers. They couldn't get anything going in 15 seconds in the shot clock. They just threw it to Jordan and said, make a play. And it's a lot of really good players. That's how they play. It's like, you know, the team tries to run something. If it doesn't work, you just throw it to the best player and say, go score a bucket. And you see what happens. And the best ones score more than they don't, more than they miss. So then, you know, Collison is obviously on this two-year-ish contract. He's basically, it's a team option with like $2 million guaranteed next year. Our friend Tony East has said that he did his little spreadsheet evaluating each player's contract, whether they've overvalued, whatnot. I think he wrote for that for 8.9 seconds. And so he had Collison basically like exactly fairly valued. Like Collison, he said, if you could sign Collison, you pay him $10.3 million. Pacers are paying him $10 million. So it's like right around that number. For next season, do you see them picking up Collison's option, or do you think they just let him kind of, you know, they eat the $2 million?
I feel like they're going to pick it up just because what else are they really going to do? I know that's not, you know, the greatest vote of confidence in Collison, but I mean, I haven't looked too in-depth at the point guard market next summer. I don't think they're going to find a better point guard for that price. I mean, you know, what Collison is making is a pretty good bargain for a starter, even though, you know, he's obviously not the greatest starter, like we've been saying this whole time. But I mean, he suits their purposes, and their purposes will be roughly the same next summer as they are, or next season as they are this season. So I'd be shocked if they don't pick up his deal, just because, like I said, like, what else are you really going to do? And I know, you know, the Pacers have, you know, a path to cap space next summer, and not many other teams do, but
Isaiah Thomas, sorry, that's it.
I think that would be a very, very, very small market team scared of tanking move that I would really hope that they don't do. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how Isaiah's hip shakes out and how this, I don't want to call it a dumpster fire, but I want to call it a dumpster fire, and Cleveland is shaking out. I mean, anything can happen. Obviously, I've been very surprised and proven very wrong multiple times in the past, and I will be again. But if I were a betting man, I would say Collison is going to be back next summer, and it's going to be more of the same.
Yeah, I think they should bring him back, especially if he has the same season he's been having the past couple years, because where the Pacers are projected, they're going to probably fall outside the top five. So they're going to be out of the, I'm going to butcher his name, Luke Dokic, Dosich. I can't.
Doncic.
Doncic. I butcher all those European names. I'm really sorry. I have European, I have a Romanian roots, so I promise it's not anything. I'm just bad at speaking sometimes. But the Marvin Bagley, and then Michael Porter, those three guys can go top three. Probably that's kind of the range you want. You know, that's the best players in draft. They're going to be out of that range, but they're probably going to be in the perfect range to get the top point guard. Like we said earlier, Colin Sexton, there's Trayvon Duval, and there's Lamar Peters. Those are kind of the three guys that are the top three point guards right now. I'm sure somebody else might pop up because that always happens. There's always a surprise player, you know, Division II. You know, Damian Lillard was a surprise kind of player when he was drafted. But that's all I mean is that he should be brought back next year to mentor that guy because he's probably, you know, theoretically you want Collison to mentor Joe Young. But I think, as you know, I think the Pacers realize what Joe Young is. He's not going to be anything. So they shouldn't worry about that. But if they bring in a guy like Colin Sexton, maybe Collison can sort of mentor that guy because Collison will be an older guy in the league. He'll have a ton of experience. He's played, you know, he played at UCLA for 3 or 4 years. So he played with Russell Westbrook. He played with Aaron Aflalo. He played with some great, you know, some really good point guards as well in this league. So he's seen it all. And so, you know, and he was open. Collison said he was open to it when he was brought back to Sacramento because he said I'd be a mentor if they wanted me to, you know, when they drafted De'Aaron Fox. So I think they should bring him back because I think $10 million is cheap for him. And, I mean, honestly, the way it takes point guards to develop, they should maybe try to, you know, get him on a 2-year deal even.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be super opposed to that. You know, I'm not going to count the Pacers out for a potential pretty high pick, especially if this lottery reform ends up passing because
– it won't be affected until the following year anyways, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, I guess I take back that.
But it still makes sense. I agree with
you. I mean, you know, you never really know. But, and, you know, oh, my gosh, I could talk for 3 hours about how amazing Luka Doncic is. But, yeah, you're going to be looking at a, you know, probably end of the top 10 type pick, which, you know, like you just said, is more of a lottery ticket than, you know, a top 1, 2, 3, you know, Doncic, Michael Porter, Bamba, Bagley, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think Collison could definitely age into sort of a, you know, grizzled vet mentor type player. And I think he could do a good job there. So, yeah, if, you know, the Pacers decide that, you know, after next year, they want to keep him around for a couple more years as well. You know, I wouldn't be offended by that. I think, you know, it could potentially be a good idea. It's all about just, you know, where the team is and where Miles Turner is. And, you know, you just kind of got to have a wait and see approach.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's wait and see. You know, you're right about the lottery. You know, there is a good chance the Pacers could still get a top three pick. I'm just being, you know, optimistic that they can get the 28 wins because 28 wins probably doesn't get you a top three pick unless you win the lottery, which is hard to win once you're in that like 7 to 10 range. Not a lot of it's weird. Like I think only two or three teams have really popped up from the seven. Usually you have to be in the top five to even get one of the top three picks, like five worst teams in the league. So, and I'm not sure they're one of the five worst teams in the league. They're close. You know, they're going to be close, but they're not quite there. So, you know, that's a positive. But, you know, I would like to see Collison at least come back next season. I mean, I'd like to come back maybe 2 years. I mean, if he's not that expensive, you can keep bringing him back because, you know, he's going to – you know, you need some veterans on this team, right? You have Al Jefferson, but he's probably gone for this season. And that's about the oldest guy you have on the team. You know, you can bring in a guy like Damian Wilkins, you know, every year, but you want to kind of bring some kind of veteran presence, you know, that – just you want a veteran guy in the roster that helps your young guys. It's always good to have an experienced player in the league.
Right. And it can't just be a Damian Wilkins type, you know, it's gotta be someone like Collison who's actually playing and actually playing like serious minutes every night, because otherwise I think what we've seen is that it can be hard to kind of establish yourself as credible for these kids who may not have seen your golden years. Like it's Jason Terry on the Bucks who just got re-signed is a great example of just a guy who, you know, is obviously he's not carrying you to 50 wins or anything, but he, you know, has been around and he can, you know, tell the young guys what's up and kind of, you know, take him under his wing and be a really good mentor. And obviously Collison hasn't had quite the illustrious career that Terry has, but you know, it's similar roles is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I was thinking Barbosa too. Terry's a good one too. Just kind of guys that have keep playing every year. They play with another team because they're a veteran and they kind of, you know, they can do a little bit of something out there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, if you're a bench player in this league, you don't have to do a ton. You just have to do just a little bit, right. You know, you have to do a little mm-hmm. thing nice and a team will sign you. So then let's get into the tougher part of the questions. Projection. If you had to project Collison's next season, let's start with how many points and his shooting percentage-ish.
Okay. All right. So I think points, I'm going to put him, let's see, last year he did 13, and the year before he did 14. I'm going to give him 13.3 points per game. And shooting percentage, let's say, I'm going to give him a little dip because I think he might have to hoist some not great stuff every now and then. I'm going to put him at 46%.
All right, that's
percentage.
So, you know, he is like not quite a member of the 50, 40, 85 club, but he's pretty, for the past couple of years, he's been pretty close. You know, he's been at 48, 49, and then 40% from three, and then like 85, 86 from the free throw line. So that, I mean, that's, you know, I think he could do that again. I think he might be a little bit worse this year just because he might not get the same amount of shot volume. I think there are a lot of shooters on the Pacer team. And even, I know he played for the Kings and their offense was basically boogie shoot and then everybody else do whatever. So it's not like he was shooting a ton of shots per game, but he was getting 10 a game, which I'm not even sure he might not get that much, especially if he really becomes more of an assist guy and a corner three shooter. But I'm, you know, I think his 3-point shooting actually might dip because he might have to shoot more threes. So he might be more like a 38, 39% 3-point shooter. I don't think it's going to drop significantly because he's going to be shooting a lot of corner threes. But I think, you know, the 40% is, you know, that's like as peak. I mean, that's his best he's ever done. Shooting that much, shooting that high either means that you don't shoot that often or you just like become really good at 3-point shooter. And it's because he shot a little less threes than the one time he shot 38, whatever. He shot a little less, shot about three threes a season, which is a little less than you would like to see sometime. But, and then point wise, I think you nailed it. I think he's somewhere between 13 and 14. You know, he's going to hit, let's say, two or three threes a game. Maybe it's two threes a game, you know, gets to the free throw line one or two times and hits a couple, you know, layups or whatever. And that gets you about 13, 14 points.
Yep.
And then, so then what do you have? Let's say, you know, point guard, and most important non scoring category for them is assists. So what do you have him assist wise?
Let's see. I'm going to say it's not going to be – so last year he had 4.6, and I do kind of feel like he's going to play more off the ball than maybe he's used to, and I think that, you know, the assists – so I'm not going to go much higher than that. I'm going to say I'll just go pretty much the same at 4.5. I see that, you know, there's – Victor Oladipo is certainly not a distributor, but – I see Collison being more of kind of stuck in the corner while Oladipo just tries to make something happen. And I just think that as a team, the Pacers aren't going to have a ton of assists. So I'm going to put him at 4.5.
Yeah. So in his best season, Collison got almost six with the Kings. He was basically becoming like Boogie's feeder, basically just fed the ball to Boogie. I mean, a lot, you know, that's what all the point guards did there. So, you know, if Miles Turner, Monster's not going to put up so that season, Boogie put up 24 points and shot the ball 18 times. You know, Turner's probably not going to shoot that well. He's not going to shoot 24 points. But if Miles Turner becomes 20-point-a-game scorer, I think Collison could touch five assists, maybe even six assists a game just because of all the other guys around them. You know, there's going to be open opportunities to hit Bogdanović for corner threes. So that's going to maybe be one or two a game. There's going to be a couple other, you know, assists he makes himself. And then just the easy feed at the Turner down low, and Turner turns around, hits the bank shot, turns around, hits the jumper, whatever. Turner, you know, I know Turner working on his post game a lot. So I think I'm a little more bullish on him, and I think he might get closer to six just because he's going to become, I think he's going to take more of a role as a point guard than as a shooter, but we'll see, you know. And then if you want to do rebounds, because I don't think it really matters as a point guard, so probably going to be the same.
13 rebounds a game.
That's ambitious.
He'll be lucky if he hits three for sure.
Yeah, he's a 2-3 rebound, you know. Yeah. Guys that, you know, you're just right place, right time kind of rebounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Finally, I just want to wrap it up. So let's say Collison opts in, or not opts in, the Pacers pick up his option for next year at $10 million. That's a pretty reasonable expectation. Then what does Collison's next contract look like after that?
At that point, so he's almost 30 right now, so he's going to be almost 32 at that point. I feel like he'll probably just be in the realm of just one-year deal after one-year deal at that point. Maybe he'll get another, like, one-plus-one with a team option. So, I mean, right then we'll be at the summer of 2019, and I guess he would probably get, like, maybe at best 2 years, $15 million type of thing, not fully guaranteed. I mean, I feel like – by the summer of 2019, he's probably not going to be the player he is now. Where, you know, he's, like you said, he's listed at 6 foot. So it's not like he's going to, you know, really be able to survive on the physical tools. Maybe he'll get way more crafty than I'm anticipating and he'll survive and thrive in that sense. But I feel like pretty confident in saying that like 2 years, 15 is where he's going to max out at.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to thrive on being the veteran point guard that's been around the league and can come off the bench for a couple minutes. And that might be his way for 3 or 4 years in the league. Because, I mean, I don't think he's had any major, major injuries in his career. So, you know, he has that going for him. You know, he's not super tall like a Jefferson, so he's not going to have bad knees probably. So maybe he can survive the last 3 or 4 years of his career as, like, on 1 year deals, like you said, being the I'm the come off the bench, play for 10 minutes, and I come in the playoffs and I come up big for you kind of thing. So maybe he'll resign with the Pacers because he likes the culture. You know, this is kind of going to be his test, I think, the next 2 years of can he kind of fit in a whole new environment and play really well? Because if he can prove he can just adjust to any environment like he's going to have to do this year, then I think teams are going to be like, well, let's get him because he can fit in our environment or whatever. But, you know, I think you hit it right there with 2 years, 15. So do you have anything you're writing about for this upcoming week? You know, I know the media day is coming up and all that stuff.
When is this coming out?
This is going to be coming out. So we're recording this on September 21st. My guess is it's going to come out the following Tuesday. So either September 26th, 27th, 28th range.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So we're probably, you know, we've got our salary series still going. Tony's getting that going for us. He's going through player by player. We're almost done with the boring players. So look forward to some more exciting articles from Tony there. Otherwise, we're just kind of cranking out the last of the hashtag offseason content before we can actually start talking about some real stuff. I mean, you can check out our whole backlog of offseason stuff. We've got a lot of fun stuff, even going back to Miles Turner week, some exciting posts there. We're going to have some stuff on Oladipo and Bogdanovich coming out fairly soon. So just keep tabs on 8.9 seconds. We've always got something going.
Yeah, I love reading your stuff. I read all your entire site usually. Most days I check in to see what's going on. A lot of times Tony sends me stuff anyway, or I see his article post, so I see his Twitter. Yeah, great site. I love 8.9 seconds. Well, Hunter, thanks for joining me on this preview podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no problem. We'll have to have you on during the season. You know, we're almost there. We're like, I think we're down to 25 days at this point. We're like almost there. We're almost there. October 17th, right?
Yeah, after October 17th. Yeah, after like once you get into the 20s of July, it's just it's a crawl. But yeah, we're almost there.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're a football fan. I'm a Colts fan, so it's been really bad. So I'm looking for something else to take my, you know, sorrows away.
Luckily, I could not care less about football. So I've been I've bared for that.
Yeah, it just gets boring then with football because it's all the coverage is all football. So. All right, well, Hunter, I'm going to let you go. Have a good rest of your night, and thanks for listening to today's Locked On Pacers podcast player preview of Darren Collison.